First, let me tell you about Liberty Safe. Liberty Safe, best built safe on America, bar none. It is the best in the industry. You can go to Cabela's right now. A lot of the Cabela's safes, if they say Cabela's on them, it's actually Liberty Safe. You can check just to make sure. They also sell Liberty Safes there, and they're having a big sale. Also, you can get all the special deals and everything else at libertysafe.com. Find a dealer around you, but if you really want to store your guns and all the things that you have that you need to make sure nobody's getting into, it's a Liberty Safe. Best built safe on the planet, bar none. It's Liberty Safe. Go to libertysafe.com. That's libertysafe.com. And don't forget, you got to just go to their Facebook page or libertysafe.com and just spend a few minutes just looking at how they test these things. That's just a fun waste of time, if you have time to waste.
The fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
A lot of people say the Muslims are coming, the Muslims are coming. Actually, I don't know anybody who says
they
that
do?
But that's how a speech was opened up by a U.S. congressman at a CARE presentation this weekend in Chicago. A lot of people say the Muslims are coming, the Muslims are coming. Well, the Muslims are here, as she continued. The Muslims are here and we're in Congress. So what does that mean? Well, you have to look at who's behind what's happening in our country. And we have a very interesting look at who's behind things as we prepare for a special tonight at 5 o'clock. We're going to get into that in exactly 1 minute as we begin the show.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Simply Safe, home security.
Only 17% of homes in the U.S. have a home security system.
I'm shocked by that.
Because they used to always say, like, well, if you have a home security system, then the burglars will go to different houses. They'll just avoid your house. And I thought, you know, that was probably true for a while, but, you know, everyone has one now, so that can't.
No,
apparently not. That's very much full in a force.
I remember as a kid, people used to put the signs out front. Could I just buy, a neighbor would put that on, you know, put in a security system. And we'd ask, could you ask him for another sign? And we'd put it in our yard. No, they never helped us. But anyway, 17%, that is a crazy number. And probably because you think that security is really expensive. It's not. All that crap about, well, these are thousands of dollars worth of equipment that'll take you years to pay off, is bull crap. Go to simplysafebeck.com right now and see how inexpensive it is to have top-of-the-line security cameras and alarms and everything else for glass break sensors. You name it, they have it. And you will save literally thousands of dollars on the system. And you're not going to believe how inexpensive it is. You're going to be mad. If you do have security, you're going to be a little angry, I think, because you can be like, I've been ripped off all these years. Yeah, yeah, you have. Stop it right now. SimplySafeBeck.com. $14.95 a month just to have the monitoring. I don't know, by the way, if it's $99 or $95. I don't know. I know it starts at $14. It's under $15. And it's SimplySafeBeck.com. That's SimplySafeBeck.com. I want to bring in Jason Buttrill, who is our chief researcher and a guy that has worked with me for a very long time. And quite honestly, we're starting to find some things that are really spooky as hell. And I want to talk to you a little bit about socialism because we found something. You know, when we were at Fox, we always talked about top down, bottom up, inside out. And we talked about how they did it to Hungary. Well, Hungary, actually, and I don't know how we missed this. Hungary was not the first place the socialists tried it, the communists. And they started calling themselves socialists intentionally and changed language. The first place they flipped was Czechoslovakia, and they did it within 3 years. And it was a pro-free market civilization that wanted nothing to do with communism, and they flipped it behind the Iron Curtain in 3 years. We've just found something that was never supposed to come out from behind the Iron Curtain. And we found the the original plan on how to do it, and you are not going to believe how much of it has already been done here in just the last few years. Also, at that CARE thing in Chicago this weekend, who is the Tlaib. She was speaking at the CARE convention or hearing or whatever it was, and she was one of the keynote speakers, and she was talking about how you know, we're here now and we are in Congress and yada yada yada. And it was a pretty powerful speech. They also have had a plan on how to infiltrate and take the nation through Hamas and Hezbollah. And we've told you about this for a long time. However, I believe we are in a very dangerous state. Even Rahm Emanuel in Chicago is saying, you have to sanction these people because it's getting really bad. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we're going to begin a dialogue with you on just Congresswoman Omar. And what we have found on Congressman Omar is should wake you up. If you are a Democrat, and I don't mean a Democrat in Washington, I just mean an average Democrat, and you care about your country, you need to watch this. If you have a friend who's a Democrat, you have a friend who's Jewish, you have a friend who's not an anti-Semite, should be all of them, send this episode to them. This is a very important episode. Jason, give us the headlines of what we're going to reveal tonight and how we're putting it together.
So when we first started talking about Omar, I just wanted to I was trying to find out where the origin of our anti-Semitism was. Mm-hmm. So we just started looking at that. And the more and more I got into looking at that, her entire story is this weird spiral of crazy town.
Yeah, we have to start the show tonight, and what's crazy is we have to start with something that is not verified, and I hate doing that, but the AP has done investigations, and the AP says this isn't right, far as there's something wrong here, and it leads us to believe these things, but we can't verify any of them because she has deleted all of it, or she is she won't answer any questions on it. But there's some crazy things on how she and her family got into America that really need to be cleared up.
Yeah, that's just one. We're going to look at three different things that are not verified right now. That if it hit anybody else, it would be national scandals. It'd be plastered all over the media. There'd be investigative journalists at the New York Times, Washington Post, all over this. They would.
These are big.
And especially she refuses to answer to any of these scandals.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, she's actually gone in and looks like deleted evidence that would have proved it otherwise.
And there is evidence, really good, solid evidence. That's what the AP is. I mean, we're not just taking this from blog sites or something. We are looking at it and what is the closest to verified. And even the AP says this is really pretty strong stuff here. And she keeps deleting these things. The perjury that she has committed on the way she or her brother or her husband came into the country. She testified on something, and we have evidence tonight that's an absolute total lie, and she knows it. And we're not the only ones who have said this, but we're probably now the biggest ones to say this. And you need to see it, because in the next chapter in the tonight's episode, in the second tier, we go into her connections to Hamas, Hezbollah, CARE, all of these really, really dark organizations.
And yeah, you talked about infiltration into the government. I've been looking at this for a while, and I've never seen it at the level that it is now. There was a shot of Linda Sarsour with a group of men last week when they went to go support Omar when this vote was going down, the anti-Semitism vote.
So I sent Jason a video that I found of Linda Sarsour and this group of men going in to Congresswoman Omar's office. And it was really odd. And there was a former Muslim woman from the Middle East who was videotaping it, or she had her phone, and she was like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And they're blocking her. And they obviously knew who she was, and she knew who they were, but I didn't know. And I sent it to Jason, and I said, "Jason, look at this. What's happening here? Who are these people?"
I don't know if I should say now who that was, because I don't want to spoil, like, this. This is insane. But the main person that's there, let's just say he has been outed in court documents. He has been labeled as the FBI by the FBI as someone that supports
terrorism
in a roundabout way. Terrorism.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, it's fully documented. The organization that he is the head of. I don't know why people aren't talking about it today as far as how they were established and what their end game is, what their goal is. Everyone just seems to have forgotten. And I just can't believe it. Like, I would if I was the FBI or DOJ, I would be starting an investigation today.
It's weird because I was just listening to CNN today. They didn't talk about this at all. They did mention, however, that Donald Trump had a picture taken with a person who ran the spa chain that Robert Kraft went to.
Oh my gosh.
Now she doesn't currently run it, but she ran it, she opened it and then sold it, and she hasn't been working there for a long time. But
that is unfreaking believable.
Entire segment.
When you
on that.
See this, when you see this tonight, when you see this, you will be much more angry at the mainstream media than you already are, because this is locked down, with an exception of the opening segment, which I will clearly say, this part we don't know because we can't get the information because she keeps deleting it. But we give you a very strong case, and a very strong case that is verifiable, that she committed perjury on her way in front of an immigration court. And it's 100% verifiable. So when we show that, and then we come back after the break and show you the second part, I'm telling you, you are going to know when the president says, "Oh, the press is the enemy of the people." I'm uncomfortable with that. I don't like that language. But when you look at what's happening here, and they are focused on somebody who owned a spa years before anything bad happened to it, and Donald Trump took a picture with that woman, they are the enemy of the people. They're the enemy of the republic because they're not doing their job. If we had a bunch, I don't care if they were the best of pilots in the world, the best fighter pilots in the world, if they were sitting on their bunks while a squad of F-16s from any other dangerous country were flying in, if we had a bunch of guys, the best in the world, sitting at NORAD, and they saw missiles launched from North Korea, and they were like, "You know what, guys? Did you see what Donald Trump tweeted last week?" And they decided to go play games. I would say they were the enemy of the United States. Well, that's the kind of misconduct that is happening right now. And that's just on this one topic. I want to come back and talk to Jason about socialism and what we also found this weekend that is mind-boggling. And we're preparing another special for that. And we'll give you some information on that coming up in 1 minute. You're never more than a minute away from the broadcast. We just need to tell you about X Chair here, and then we'll be right back into the show. X Chair, really great chair. Really great chair. This morning I was sitting back. I may have rested my eyes for a minute just because of the stupid time change. But it is the most comfortable chair. You sit in this thing, and it is like a recliner in many ways. It even has a footrest. if you use the promo code Beck when you call or when you go to the website. But it comes with a footrest, and it is so comfortable. It's got all the back support that you need, and they have them in all sizes. They have them in all fabrics and leather, and they also have them in any price range. X-Chair. Go to xchairbeck.com. See what I'm talking about. Try it out for 30 days. If you don't like it, send it back. No questions asked. 30-day money-back guarantee. X-Chair. And they have a new financing option. You can pay as little as $30 a month. It's X-Chair. On sale now for $100 off. Plus, you get the free footrest if you use the promo code Beck at xchairbeck.com. That's xchairbeck.com. Use the promo code Beck, and you'll get the free footrest at xchairbeck.com. 10 seconds, station ID. So, Stu, do you remember the case we made years ago about socialism and how communism was brought into Hungary? Do you remember this?
Yes.
So what they did was they got a lot of communists elected and put into their system of government, mm-hmm. but they weren't calling themselves communists at the time. And they infiltrated that, and then they infiltrated the media. And then they had the bottom rise up. They started doing things or letting things go and undermining the system. And eventually things got so out of control that the bottom rose up and said, you've got to stop this. It's exactly what the socialists did under Hitler. The socialists had the brown shirts, the National Socialist Army. Brown shirts, and they caused so much chaos that the people rose up and said, okay, somebody's got to make this stop. And Hitler did. Same thing in Hungary. It became chaos. The people said, we need somebody to control this. And the Soviet tanks rolled in. Remember? Mm-hmm. Top down, bottom up, inside out. Well, Jason, while he's doing some research on some other things, he came across a booklet that I cannot believe that we didn't find earlier, but it's not well known. It was never supposed to come out into the general public. It was written by a communist for the communists on how to take Czechoslovakia. And Czechoslovakia fell in a peaceful transition of power, fell from a relatively free market system to a socialist system, to a communist system in 3 years. 3 years.
It's it really is amazing. So like after the Yalta conference, when they did the agreement, Stalin couldn't just roll in and do a October Revolution all over Western Europe. That was like in it. Like Roosevelt made sure to put that in that you can't just roll in and do all this stuff. So the communists were like, well, crap. Like how do we spread communism? Like how do we fulfill our dream? Because there were all these like democratic systems now, like in Czechoslovakia, they had a parliament. And so the communists in Eastern Europe at the time were like, okay, well, we know we can do this, but we have to do it legally. So how do we do it legally? So they devised this plan. And in this pamphlet you're talking, by the way, this pamphlet is kind of, that's a completely other story on just how hard to find this sucker is.
Yeah, it's up to $600. You want to buy one? $600.
And it's 50 pages long. Mm-hmm. 50 pages long. So it ranges from 200 to 600. And it's, if you know where to look, you can find the thing just to be able to download online. But $600 for a pamphlet? But when you start reading through it, there's actually, I guess, some motive that people might have to not want this to get out into the general public.
Big motive.
It is a play-by-play handbook on if you don't want to break the law and you want to work within the system, but you want to change a capitalist democracy into a socialist dictatorship of the proletariat, which is a direct quote mm-hmm. within this pamphlet. This is how you do it.
So it's a way almost of bringing socialism through democratically. I don't know what you'd call that. Something like a
democratic socialist
or something like that. Yeah. You'd almost call it that. Uh-huh.
Exactly.
And Stu, I read it last night, and it is, your eyes will fall out. Mm. Your eyes will fall out. You'll be like, what? Wait. That's Ocasio-Cortez. Oh my gosh, look at that. That's what the media is doing right now. That's Congress right now. That's what this bill is about. It's crazy.
It's so blatant, Stu. This will blow your mind. Like, and part, like, they were the first ones to say, hey, how do we, like, they brought up the first wealth tax. They called it the millionaire's levy. Now, it wasn't so, like, people like Senator Warren are saying the exact same things. Mm-hmm. But what they don't, what Warren won't say, this guy, the author Jan Kozak, who was the actual official historian for the Communist Party in Czechoslovakia, he was like, well, the whole reason why we did the millionaire's levy, it wasn't because we didn't care about giving the money to the people. That's not what we cared about. We just wanted to isolate capitalists and anyone that opposed us. We wanted to say from the bottom, the activists that we had working and pushing up, we wanted to say, hey, look, you know, these people care only about the millionaires. They care only about the one percenters. Like, that's who the politicians care about. We care about you. So it was all an isolation tactic. It had nothing to do with actually giving to the poor. Mm. But this is how you start it. So they started with the millionaire's levy. Then they moved on to, you know, there's these businesses, you know, that they're only in it for themselves. And they're getting too big. And they're monopolizing. So we need to find a way to co-opt them with the government. Now, this is already sounding familiar if you think about what's happening with big tech like Google, Facebook, or, you know, companies like that. But they're like, if we can find a way to co-opt them, then we can show the people that we have their best interests in mind. And eventually, co-opting them with the government turns into full-on nationalization. Full-on nationalization. Then they moved on from there to confiscating private property, redistributing large farms and stuff like that and large industries over to smaller, you know. It was a step-by-step-by-step process. And the scary thing is, as you said, you can completely see where we're at in this cycle right now.
And we're pretty close to the end. We're pretty darn close to the end.
There's a feeling that I think people have. That I was talking to a guy, he parks cars, and we were standing out in the parking lot the other day, and we were just talking, and I said, you know, how you feeling about stuff? And he said, Glenn, I know you've been talking about this for a long time, but he said, but I didn't really think that, you know, I thought we were going to have some trouble times. He said, I think we're about to lose our country. I feel like the free market system and what we know as protected by the Bill of Rights is about to be lost. And he's right.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
You know what's crazy about that? Oh, wait, sorry. Let me tell you about Relief Factor. Relief Factor. I will tell you, somebody said to me, boy, you're on this painting storm. Yeah, I am, because my hands work. I'm not in massive pain with my hands. I can actually paint now because of Relief Factor. Relief Factor. What is it that you have given up on? What is it that you have thought, I can't do it anymore? Lifting up your grandkids, getting under the table, playing with the kids. What is it? If you have some sort of pain, you're not alone. 100% drug-free. It was created by doctors. They have a 3-week quick start, and 70% of the people who take it for 3 weeks as directed, 3 times a day, they go on to order more month after month after month after month because it works. Call them, 800-583-84 or relieffactor.com. That's relieffactor.com.
If you want to see the episode tonight that we've been talking about this whole half hour, you can see it. If you subscribe at blazetv.com, use the promo code Beck and save $10.
This podcast is sponsored by simplysafe.com/Glenn. I love doing commercials for Simply Safe because I have this system. In fact, I have it in my office even, where we have a lot of collectibles. So when we lock up the doors on the weekend, we know nobody's gonna, you know, steal the ruby slippers or the cup of a carpenter. Simply Safe is the best home security. They believe nothing should come between you and protecting your home. Simply Safe has created a system where you own the alarm system. So for $14.95 a month, they give you the 24/7 monitoring. It's all wireless, so you don't have to worry about somebody cutting the lines or the power going out. All of it still works. Get a jump on protecting your home the Simply Safe way. SimplySafe.com/Glenn. GLENN. No time like the present. This is how you protect your home and your stuff. SimplySafe.com/Glenn. Welcome to the program. No, you can't do it. Pat's trying to adjust the Ocasio-Cortez painting. Ocasio or Alexandria knows best. Can we get a shot of that real quick? Is that possible? Does that thing move?
We've got 83 cameras in here. There's not one that, huh?
It's pointed there. There it is. There's Ocasio Cortez. She knows best. And she does. She was out at the South by Southwest, and they loved her.
Oh, my.
Loved her.
You know that CNN panel we played for you last week? They all said none of them wanted Joe Biden for president.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of them, well, there were only six, but still, all of them love Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Mm-hmm. She's just so great in the future of the party. Really?
She's wrong on everything.
She is so ignorant on virtually every single issue. Here's what she said at South by Southwest about Ronald Reagan. This is amazing.
I think a perfect example of how special interests and the powerful have pitted white working class Americans against brown and black working class Americans in order to just screw over all working class Americans.
The unions? Is she going after the unions here, I assume?
No, you're going to be surprised. No, she's not.
Reaganism in the 80s when he started talking about welfare queens.
Right.
Remember that? So you think about this image, welfare queens.
Think about that
And
image.
What he was really trying to talk about was this, he was painting this photo. He's painting this like really resentful vision of essentially black women who were doing nothing, that were sucks on our country, right?
What?
And it's this whole tragedy of the commons type of thinking where it's like, because this one specific group of people that you are already kind of subconsciously primed to resent, you give them a different reason that's not explicit racism but still rooted in a racist caricature. It gives people a logical reason to say, oh yeah, no, toss out the whole social safety net.
Okay. She's
nuts,
wrong on everything. Now, what she doesn't mention is that Ronald Reagan wasn't even talking about a group of people. He was talking about one specific person and giving an example of how, in some cases, the welfare system is completely out of control. He was talking about Linda Taylor. He never mentioned her by name, but that's who this was. He said, there's a woman in Chicago. She has 80 names, 30 addresses, 12 social security cards, and she's collecting veterans benefits on 4 non-existing deceased husbands. He said, and she's collecting social security on her cards. She's got Medicaid, getting food stamps, and she's collecting welfare under each of her 80 names.
Oh my gosh.
Her tax-free cash income alone is over $150,000.
This is in the 80s.
1976.
76?
1976. She's
making like 500 grand or more.
And the woman was mostly white. She was not black. She claimed to be black a few times.
No, no.
She had a Native American heritage.
No, Alexandria knows best. I'm telling you, she knows best. Look deep into her eyes.
Dangerous. Because people are responding to her.
Well, listen to this. For anybody who says that they're not going to get rid of, they're socialists. That's a different kind of socialism than in Venezuela. I want you to hear what she said this weekend about capitalism. Here it is.
Capitalism isn't, to me, is it's an ideology of capital. It puts the most important thing is the concentration of capital.
Yep.
And it means that we seek and prioritize profit and the accumulation of money above all else.
Yes.
And we seek it at any human and environmental cost.
Yes.
That means.
That's what that means.
That ideology is not sustainable and cannot be redeemed.
Right.
Well, if that's what, hang on just a second, look deeply into her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
She knows best. That's what capitalism means to her?
Yeah,
well, that's not what capitalism actually means.
Although it's based on capital. I got that because it's part of the word capitalism, right?
Yes.
I like the part where, because I mean, how many times in our secret meetings of capitalists have we discussed the idea that we want to enrich a few people at any human cost?
Any human
cost. Almost on all of our bumper stickers.
Yeah.
It's just such an obvious
thing.
It's
the first thing said at all of our based on capital meanings.
Yeah, we all repeat it. At any human or an environmentalist cost. It's like,
in fact, we like it better when it hurts people.
It's
more fun that way.
It makes the money sweeter.
It does.
It tastes just a little better.
They say blood diamonds are bad. Blood diamonds.
Oh, blood capital is
blood
the way to go.
Blood money is delicious.
I love it. I mean, it's so ridiculous. How can anybody take her seriously?
But they do. Listen to this. This is a new poll. This is from Axios. Generation Z has more positive view of the word socialism than previous generation, along with millennials. It's because they don't know what socialism. You want to know what socialism is? Venezuela. It's the new diet plan. It's sweeping the world. You'll lose 100 pounds in 60 days. They are more likely to embrace socialist policies and principles than any past generation. Government should provide universal health care. Millennials and Generation Z, 73%. Just so you know, the whole population is now 66.7. You want to talk about moving the Overton window? When we talked about this 10 years ago and said they're moving to a single-payer system, they're moving to a government-run system.
We were crazy.
We were crazy. That will never happen.
Racist.
Government should provide tuition-free college. The average person, 56.2, over 50% say yes.
Wow.
Millennials in general and Generation Z, 67%.
Jeez.
I prefer living in a socialist country, 37% general population.
Jeez.
49% millennial and Generation Z.
And 37 is way too high. Way too high for the general population.
Go for it. Go for it.
They're all looking for new people to support their system. Socialist countries are more than happy to welcome you if you have any money at all to pay for any of the programs because they're all in desperate trouble and need more money. So they'll welcome you if you want to go to one. Just don't screw our thing up.
Support abolishing ICE, 29.7 for the general population. Millennial and Generation Z, 43.1. Have a September 11th and you'll see how much you enjoy it. High earnings result of free enterprise, 67% of the general. Millennial and Generation Z is 71%.
That's reversed on that one, by the way, Glenn. The average population thinks free enterprise is helping with wealth more than the younger generations. All the other ones, you're reading that backwards because we have a black and white printout. That's why...
Oh, you're kidding me.
Yeah, right. So this one is actually, once again, the average population is saying, wait a minute, okay, yeah, free enterprise is a good thing, leading to positive things, high earnings. And
what do the millennials think high earnings are a result of?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's stealing. Will? I don't know. Yeah.
Government should allow private insurance. Only 78% of millennials in... No?
Oh, 78% of the general public, if you see the darker line there...
Yes, 78% the general public does agree with that.
That's an amazing... the bottom line here, I guess, is if you look at this stuff, is that there always has been this situation where you start off as you're younger, right? And you embrace these sort of ridiculous... ideas, and as over time with life experience, you wind up becoming more conservative, right? Like we've seen that used to be the thing of no one goes the other way. You don't start off really conservative and then wind up being liberal. Yeah. It's very rare for that to occur. As we see here, I mean, the further we get down this road, even if they back off from some of these claims, they're still socialists.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
They're still so far past what the American people
And for the Generation Z and the millennials, they first of all, the education system has warmed them up to socialism.
No, it hasn't warmed them up. It has served them up.
It's put them on, yes, yeah. And they're on fire for it now. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, they haven't seen socialism at its worst in their lifetime, except Venezuela.
Venezuela.
And they're told Venezuela is not a good example of socialism.
But we have been told,
look at Denmark.
I want someone on the staff dedicated. I don't care if it takes a week. I want somebody on the staff dedicated to going back and looking for every single celebrity that said this great socialist system in Venezuela. Where the hell are they?
Yeah, where are they now?
Where are they? Those
the
people
Danny
are
Glovers,
now starving.
Sean Penn.
Yeah, that held this all up as great socialism and what we should have.
Yeah.
I do not want people to forget who brought that misery onto people. Do you know that 17 children died this weekend because the hospital, they were in neonatal care, and the hospital lost electricity?
Yeah, the whole city
did.
Just
one hospital, right? That was
just one hospital.
Yeah.
One of the hospitals, 17 children died. Where are you, Danny Glover? Where are you, Sean Penn? Where are you, all you Hollywood phonies that say this is what we should have? Oh, well, maybe they just didn't do it right this time. Well, you know, Hitler didn't do socialism right either. Neither did Mussolini. Neither did Franco. Neither did Stalin. Neither did Pol Pot. Neither did Mao. I mean, how many more do you need? You're talking about taking away the free market. Do you know why they ran out of electricity? Because the country that is the most oil rich in the world couldn't deliver any oil. Why? Because the government said they could do it better than the private sector.
And they kicked
That's
out the
what
private
you
companies.
Get.
Yeah.
That's what you get.
And in the middle of that is when we're seeing this rise of socialism here in the United States. It's incredible. It's incredible that that is happening at the same time. You have 15 candidates running for president in the United States. And I mean, by any measure other than right now, at least 12, 13, 14 of them would be considered socialists. I mean, now they're only three or four will admit to that or cop to that. They might praise Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, but only, you know, the Bernies of the world are really going to admit to it fully. I mean, Elizabeth Warren, I don't even think claims to be a democratic socialist. But still, I mean, by any measure of any time, these people, at least half this field, if not more, would be considered socialists.
And but, half this field was whitewashed by the Obama administration. Half this field was brought in and whitewashed, made to look, okay, they're all fine. They're all fine. Don't worry. They're not crazy radicals. Mm. That's the real legacy of Barack Obama. That is the thing that history will go back and look at. They will look at, he opened this door for the radical socialist Marxist to come through. And they did. And they set up shop. They knew exactly what they were doing. And they set up shop. And we're sitting around like a bunch of dummies.
Oh, gee, I think maybe, well, I don't know. They don't say they're really socialist. They really want Sweden.
Oh, we watch what you're saying with we, right? I mean, like, not this audience.
The country.
You were saying it. We said
country.
That every night.
I know. The country is sitting around saying, mainly our Democratic neighbors and friends. These guys, they are putting their head in the sand. And it is becoming, when you have Rahm Emanuel standing up and saying, guys, you need to censure these people, and they're Democrats. When Rahm Emanuel says, you have to censure these people, and they don't, Rahm Emanuel is not exactly a mainstream guy. We didn't think of him as mainstream 10 years ago. Now he's out.
He's the voice of reason.
He's the voice of reason.
Hard to believe.
You should wake up, Democrats. You need to wake up. By the way, do not miss tonight's show at 5 o'clock. This one, sign up for. You must see this. We are going to be using a lot of the chalkboard here in coming weeks because we are connecting the dots for you tonight, Congressman Omar. All right, ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter is the best way to find new employees for your business. Your employees are the voice of your vision. They're the first impression. They're the last impression. They are your brand. So who are you going to hire? And how are you going to do it? And do it quickly. What most people do, they'll just put an ad up on job sites, but they're not using ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter has smart technology. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. This smart technology goes out and learns what you're looking for, then goes and invites those people who are looking for those jobs to apply for yours. Then they highlight the best candidates, so you're not just getting an avalanche of resumes. It's ZipRecruiter. Do it now. 80% of the people who try ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first 24 hours. It's now, it's usually now the first hour. ZipRecruiter.com. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. Try it for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. I'm both excited and nervous about today's show. I'm nervous about today's show at 5 o'clock because I'm afraid, you know, of how many people will not see it. And it drives me nuts. This is tonight is a very important show. And it is beginning of this next season here before summer. We are going to be exposing and connecting the dots like we used to at Fox and show you what's really going on. Tonight, Congresswoman Omar and the history of her life and who she's connected to, and nothing to see here, people, according to the mainstream media. A lot to see. Please join us at blazetv.com. Join us tonight, 5 p.m. blazetv.com/Beck, promo code Beck. Let me tell you about our spotlight sponsor, and it is realestateagentsitrust.com. If you are in the market for a new house, this is the time to buy a new house, and I think it's going to be hard to get financing for a house soon. And I think rent is going to continue to go up, so you might want to buy a house. If you do, realestateagentsitrust.com can help you find the right house in your area. These are the people that have the sensibilities just like you. They listen to this show. So if you're moving to a new area, we can help you find the right neighborhood. All you have to do is go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Also, if you're looking to sell your house, these are the experts in your neighborhood. Find the right real estate agent. It's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com.
The Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
New gun laws in Washington, D.C. and Washington State. We'll tell you about those. Also, a message to schools all over America. I already did my homework. Why is it I'm having to help my son and daughter do their homework? Does homework never end?
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Your kids at homework time yet? Are you?
Yeah. I mean, they're young, but still.
Wait until you get into high school.
Right, because it's now to the point where it's kind of, you can look at their homework and easily understand it and do it. That's going to end.
No. Mm-hmm. No, I'm doing science projects now. I did this already. Why am I doing it again? All right. Filter By. Filter B-U-Y. Filter By is for guys like me and really anybody who wants to save money and save money on the repair bills of your air handling system.
This is just a filter. Air filters are just like homework. It's like this little task that you have to do, and it's just to make sure you understand and you're responsible. That's what I did when I was in school. Okay? Right. I did that a long time ago. Now I want this to be easy.
I didn't have to make a generator. There's no reason I have to make a generator, okay? There's no reason my son has to make a generator. Okay, great. We're going to learn all about it, and I will teach him about electricity. Okay, I got it. but I don't need to do it again because I know I'm never going to build a generator. I know I'm in my 50s. There's nobody ever going to come to me and go, Glenn, well, actually, with the way socialism is going, maybe it's a good thing we do know how to build generators. Anyway, FilterBuy will help you with your filters. You're going to put so much stress on your air handling system if you don't change that filter that you're going to end up spending hundreds of dollars getting it fixed. But also, with FilterBuy, you're going to keep your air clean. That's the biggest problem. That's why we all get sick, is because in the winter we don't open up the doors or windows and it's dirty air. Make sure your filter is clean. Just go to filterbuy.com, filterbuy.com. If you subscribe, so it will send you every, you know, the amount of time that the manufacturer says you should change these, they'll just arrive at your doorstep. You don't even have to think about it, and you're going to save 5% at filterbuy.com. That's filterbuy.com. Our chief researcher, Jason Batrill, is with us, and he is, Jason is, been working on a story here for the last 3 weeks that we're going to be doing tonight on Congresswoman Omar, and you really need to see it. Please sign up for the Blaze, blazetv.com. Use the promo code Beck. You're going to save 10% if you sign up for a year, but you can just try it out. But watch tonight's show, please, and then spread it to your friends, especially Democrats. They have to wake up onto who these people are. There are really dangerous people. And tonight, it just happens to be Congresswoman Omar. And so he's been dealing with this and at the same time dealing with your daughter. Can I bring this up?
Yes, go
dealing
ahead.
Dealing with your daughter who is... who's dating?
You know, you've had me look into some very scary things before.
Yes, yes.
And I've like walked away from work with a just complete pale face.
Right.
And that pales in consider, you know.
You were actually in and around when the hairy back guy after 9/11 was interrogated.
Yeah.
So you've been around some spooky things.
Doesn't even compare. Not at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. My daughter now, she turned 16 back in December. And I was like, okay, this was how it went for me. Like, my mom said that you can date when you're 16 years old.
Yes.
That was a huge, like, you know, pivot point in my life. So I was like, you know, I'm gonna give that to her, too.
Mm-hmm.
She, you know, I trust her. You know, she's very responsible.
It was
16.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, okay, fine. But I, you know, that's one of the things you just kind of say, but you don't even really think it's going to happen soon.
Yeah.
But lo and behold, 2 weeks ago happened. And so I had a rule, right? I had a rule, but I didn't.
What do you mean you had a rule?
I had a rule of how this was supposed to play out. I just didn't properly like convey it, I guess, because I was just kind of like, okay, yeah, you can date now. But I didn't fully go into it.
All right.
But the rule was supposed to be, yes, you can date if the gentleman comes to the house, I meet him, hands are shaken.
The gentleman?
yeah, that, very lightly.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
But so that was supposed to be the rule. Well, I get a call from a very nervous wife a couple weeks ago.
Your wife?
From my wife. Mm. And she's like, okay, yeah, I don't know how to tell you this, but this is like a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexa just went on her first date. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? She's going to go on like on Friday? Like, no, she goes, no, she's there now. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, well, apparently this, you know, boy asked her and he's very, very hardworking. He works on the weekends. He couldn't come to the house, you know, and do all that. So he just wanted to take her to a movie and like a coffee, you know, a quick coffee, like right after the movie, and we'll pick her up at like 5. And I am just like instantly, you know, as a dad, like your world just ended, you know, like everything just stopped.
So you didn't meet the boy?
No.
Please tell me you were there to meet him when you went to pick her up.
All right, so critique me here. So this is how I handled it. I was like, so I had this full speech ready to go when she got home. We'll get into that later. But then, like, so, like, we go to pick him up, and, you know, I'm rocking my best, like, I'm in a tank top, even though it was, like, 30 degrees outside. The window's down.
Gun oil in your hands.
Like, you can't see this on radio, but, like, you know, I'm, like, kind of, like, doing the flex mode as I'm leaning on the window. And so, like, they're sitting at this coffee shop. She knows I'm about to pull up. I pull up, and then my wife is, like, hiding her eyes because she's, like, nervous about what's about to happen. My son's in the back seat cracking up. And I see them. He looks over, and I kind of, like, give him, like, the little stink eye. And he, like, kind of smiles and does a little wave. Turn my head 90 degrees the other direction.
You get out of that car, dude. You get out of the car.
I, like, but see, I wanted to, like, so I didn't want to embarrass her, right? So I didn't want to embarrass her
first
at that point.
First of all. That is a parent's number one job.
To embarrass.
You embarrass. If you haven't said to your children, hey, you're going to a movie. Great. You can go to the movie. I'm just going to go and dance with a t-shirt that I made with your face on it that says my daughter. And I'm going to dance in the lobby in sandals with white socks and shorts. And then do it.
Okay, so like I'm debating that strategy actually as we're but I'm like this is like very very critical. I saw this as a very very like pivotal moment. So I'm like I don't want to completely turn her off, you know, and completely embarrass her because I don't want to turn her against me because she's 16. Like I know you know all about this, but like there's just you can never predict those emotions at that age. Stu, you'll get here pretty soon.
I can't predict emotions of my wife.
That's true.
That's
true.
Yeah.
But so anyway, so we get home and I'm like, you know, Alexa, family room right now, and my wife's following, and I was like, okay, first off, I just want to say I think it's really cool, you know, that this boy asked you out. Second of all, it'll never happen this way again. And I was like, this person has to meet me. If he wants to take you out, he has to come to the house. He has to come inside. We have to talk.
Good for you.
I was like, I will not make it embarrassing. I promise. I will not be cleaning a gun.
Don't ever promise that.
You know, at the same time.
Oh, you're a fool. You're a fool.
But I was like, but he's not going to want to date me if he does this. And I was like, and that is exactly the type of person I'm trying to protect
you from.
If
he's not willing to do that, nope.
Right.
Nope. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's common courtesy.
Now, she said, but it's not. It doesn't work that way anymore, Dad. Like this.
Well,
is
it
not,
does in my house.
She said the 50s, but I was. This was the early 90s for me.
Does in my house. Well, you know what? Then you know what does work? When I pulled up, he should have walked over to the car and introduced himself to me.
Yeah.
It shows me he's a boy of poor character.
Yeah, well, I was giving him a ticket to the gun show, so maybe he was a little bit intimidated at that point.
I doubt it.
I've seen you in a tank top, unfortunately, and I don't think he was intimidated.
You gotta
maybe
you
in
gotta,
the military days,
have,
my friend.
You have military friends. You were in military intel. What is wrong with you, man? Well, you do a psych op on this young boy.
Well, I have an update. It's no longer needed. That to go to that step.
Okay.
Because a week goes by and I'm like, you know, Alexa, I told you you're game on to do this. Yeah. Like, what's happened? She's like, well, you know, make a long story short, he didn't want to come and do that. He didn't want to come to the house and do the meetup.
Wow.
Did not want to do that. And I was like, go back to him. Say, look, it's game on. My dad is cool. You know, like, that's all it is. It'll be really quick. It'll take literally 60 seconds and then you'll be out and we'll go do whatever. He did not want to do it. So this past Friday, I mentioned it again. She goes, Dad, do not bring up the name of that boy. I do not want to talk about him. I never want to see him again. I was like, this is what I was protecting you from. Listen to me.
Good.
So we did it. I think the PSYOP was like the next step, but wasn't even needed. So if you're looking into asking out.
It's always needed just for fun.
Yeah. You sound like there's some experience. You had some experience.
Oh, me? No. I will tell you that I knew who my daughter was going to marry because of she would bring the boy in. The boy had to meet Dad and everything else, you know, and then she goes to college. And when she's dating this boy, she doesn't tell me at all. She's dating him for a while. She doesn't tell him who I am either. And so she's just like this. You know, so your folks, you know, what's your dad do? You know, he's in business. You know, it was that kind of thing. She didn't say anything.
He's an entrepreneur.
He's an entrepreneur. Oh, that's really cool. Until the night before, she said, "You have to go meet my dad." And then she said, he was clueless. He was just clueless. He said, okay, who's your dad? And she said, Glenn Beck. And he said, okay, so who is he? And she said, Glenn Beck. And this is in New York at the height of, you know, everybody saying I'm the Antichrist. And she said, Glenn Beck. And he said, I don't know who that is. And she said, yes, you do. And he said, no, I don't. And she's like, now she's getting offended. No, my dad's a big deal. And so she's going off on this. So he says, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. He goes home and he Googles me.
Oh, no.
Now he's up all night now because he's been Googling and it's me going, you little pinhead, get off my phone. Yeah. All of that stuff. And he comes in and the office doors open. This is when we had a corner office in Manhattan. Opens up, we have the whole floor, and right by the elevators are all these crazy pictures of me, you know, life size of doing crazy things. And he's just like a scared rabbit now.
He met you in the office?
He met me in the office.
With the corner office, like overlooking, yep, New York City.
And
like
I said, I looked at, because my daughter was so, because I had done all of the psyops before, my daughter was doing on him. And she comes in and she sits down and he sits down. And I said, nice to meet you, Tim. And he's like, yes, sir, nice to meet you. And Hannah said, you know, I think I'm just going to leave you two alone. And he looked at her like, good God, no, no, he's going to throw me out of one of these windows. She left and we had a nice conversation and I didn't have to do any of the operations that I had done before because I did them to her early and she learned and she knew, she prepared him for dad's going to be, and I didn't have to be. I didn't have to be. All right, come back in just a second. Stand by. I want to tell you about a young lady who is looking to buy her first home here in Texas. And the market at her price point was really, really hot. So she went to realestateagentsitrust.com, and her agent devised a plan to have her offer accepted. And her agent said, we're going to do these three things. One, pre-qualify with a great mortgage company that her agent had a history of success using. That way it would satisfy the seller's agent. Two, he advised that they find a home that was priced to sell so they knew the owner was ready to move. And three, they had to find a home well located and priced correctly so it could be leased if, you know, an emergency arose. Knowing that there would be multiple offers, they offered more than what was asking, but still less than what the house would have appraised for. So she also offered help with some of the closing costs. What happened? Well, the house that she wanted had 10 offers in 3 days, but she got the house because she had an agent who knew how to get the job done. This is why we have real estate agents. Itrust.com. You can go there and get the right agent. She got the house that she wanted in a very hot market. Hopefully you're not in a hot market unless you're selling. If you're buying, you have to have the right agent to find the right home for you, the right location for you. You have to trust that they have the same kind of sensibilities. They understand you. That's why everybody is personally vetted by my team. They have the same sensibilities. They're all fans of the show. So you immediately have something in common with this person and you know what their values are. And when they say, you know, this area, you don't want to live in this area. I don't know, because there are foreigners in this area, or it's all stinking liberal and you'll be the outcast and you won't have to decorate your house on Halloween because you're already be known as the scariest house because you're a scary conservative. Anyway, if you need somebody to help you with this, it's realestateagentsitrust.com. That's realestateagentsitrust.com. 10 seconds, station ID. Jason, I am so disappointed in you. Have you no? I mean, you have military friends. That's the. I mean, I had Marcus Luttrell. Just happened to be over at my house.
Right.
Coincidence. Just happened to be over.
Mm-hmm. This happens.
And and I just was talking to this young man about how much I love my daughter. Oh, and have you met Marcus Luttrell, lone survivor, Navy SEAL? Yeah, he lived by himself for days. He took on a whole Afghan army by himself in the end, and he survived. And then just Marcus said, "Yeah, I love that little lady that you're dating too." Enough said. I don't think anything else was said. I mean, it's
part of a long time with you. You have various experiences where you have, I mean, some would say intimidated younger men that may want to date one of your daughters.
All I know. No. I mean, the worst one, you're talking about the pizza one?
Yeah.
The worst one, and I contend the best one, and you can do this. All you need is, you need a friend who's a cop. That's it. Just mm-hmm. make friend with a cop, okay? Just so when your daughter turns...
Or a male stripper that has a uniform. Even that.
That might work. That might work, although your daughter will know. Like, we have security, so I have a security, and my kids know they can find anything about anybody at any time. And so I just had security sit at another table. But you can do this, dads, with a cop friend, okay? I don't know what you were going to offer them. Maybe just pay them scale, and just have them sit at another table. And whatever you say, they just are to look at you when you look over to them, and they have to be on their phone. They have to be sitting like the next table over, and they have to sit at their phone, and you just look at them. And when you look at them, they just have to shake their head. Okay. It doesn't matter. Yes. No, doesn't matter. Just have to shake their head. Okay. So that was the deal going in. So this kid, we are going to meet at a pizza parlor, and we're going to have dinner. And so my daughter is there, and he shows up, and it's nice and everything else. And we're just having nice little chit chat. And I ask him about himself, and eventually we get into, you know, does he have any, how is he as a driver? And do you have any speeding tickets? Oh, no, sir. None at all. None. Really? None. That's when I look over to my friend, and he just shakes his head. Now, he's not doing anything. He's playing a game probably on his phone. Okay, he's not doing anything. He just shakes his head, and the kid goes, okay, there is that one, but I didn't know it was a one-way street, and it was very confused. And I just put my hand up, and I said, da-da-da. I know. You don't have to tell me. I know. And he just looked at me, and then he looked at Hannah. I'm like, it's no big deal. And then we just moved on for a while, mm-hmm. okay? We just had a nice conversation. Then when we got up, he was having Coke, and he had finished his can of Coke. And I said to him, as we were getting up, walking away, he got up, and I said, are you done with your Coke? And he said, yes. Now, before I went, I had turned a Ziploc bag inside out, mm-hmm. okay? And I put it in my pocket. So I take it out of my pocket, and I put my hand in the Ziploc bag, which is inside out. And then I grab the can of Coke, and I put it now, and I roll down the Ziploc bag. So now it's right side, and I zip it up. And he said, what are you doing? I said, just running some tests. That's all I had to say. He went white. We left. And I was really proud of myself. My daughter didn't know whether I would run those tests. That's where you have to keep them off balance. She wasn't sure if I would run them or not. Mm-hmm. And so we left, and I was feeling pretty good until like 2 days later, the phone rings at my house. I could still see this because I thought, I mean, all of a sudden, like I had tunnel vision, everything went dark. A voice on the other end said, are you the man who took a Coke can from my son and said you were running fingerprints and DNA? And I said, well, and he said, did you do that? And I said, yes. And he said, you, sir, are a genius. I know what I'm going to do now with my daughter when she starts to date. Dads, unite. We're in this together. Play a cop.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
This is a whole new business line for 23andMe. They should get involved. They should partner with you and do DNA tests of
That's all we're doing.
People dating people's daughters.
I just need you to spit into this little cup. Just sell the little cups. I don't have to run the DNA test. Just sell me the little cups. Oh, my gosh. That would be great. We're just checking out. We just want to see. 23andMe is something where you can get the personalized insights based on your DNA with more than 125 genetic reports on health, traits, and more, including how much Neanderthal you have. Seriously, I mean, really, that's one of them. How much Neanderthal do you have? And that's what I'm looking for, son. I'm just seeing how much of a Neanderthal you are. 23andMe, do this with your family. It is so fun. I am 1.3% Native American, more than Elizabeth Warren. How do I know? 23andme.com/Beck. Do it now.
Ilhan Omar, you've heard a lot about her, but not the whole story. We're going to have that tonight on Glenn's TV show, 5 p.m. Eastern, blazetv.com/Beck.
Now for something completely different. I have the honor to introduce you to one of the best people I know and a hard worker. His name is Mike Rowe. The Way I Heard It with Mike Rowe. This is a great podcast that gives a unique take on American history. He explores everything from pop culture to politics, athletes to actors, history to Hollywood. Each episode is 10 minutes or less about a famous person or an event that you know, filled with surprising facts that you likely didn't know until Mr. Smarty Pants, Mike Rowe, tells you about it. It's called The Way I Heard It. It's hosted by the one and only Mike Rowe, and he shares stories for, and I quote, the curious mind with a short attention span. The Way I Heard It, America's number one short-form podcast. Go to microw.com/podcast and listen and subscribe to The Way I Heard It. That's microwe.com/podcast. That's microw.com/podcast. Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than a generation away from extinction. And he was absolutely right. The question is it this generation? We told you earlier on the program about the latest poll on socialism. It is polling wildly favorably with everyone who is under 40. We have people now that are talking about openly at South by West, Southwest, calling capitalism a failed experiment and that it has no future. Capitalism, the free market system. That person is Ocasio-Cortez. So, we know about socialism. We know that about 99%, I think it's like 97% of the American population cannot name the five freedoms guaranteed in the First Amendment, let alone the 10 amendments in the Bill of Rights. Now, these are the things that the government cannot, must not ever violate. If we don't know them, we lose them. The Second Amendment is the one that everybody seems to talk about, but they don't seem to understand the words thou shalt not, or not thou shalt not, shall not, the government shall not infringe. See if this is an infringement. They have announced now a red flag gun confiscation bill, and the hearing is set for the end of this month. And they're looking for common ground. Now, when I say they've said it, and looking for common ground, they believe they can find it. Who is it that's saying that? It's the GOP. The GOP says that they have a common sense red flag confiscation bill. They've set the hearing. And when Lindsey Graham announced it, he said that he had spoken with the president about the bill and that President Trump is on board. Now, what is the bill? It's Senate Bill number 7. and it would use federal funds to help states implement extreme risk protection orders. Now, what is that, Stu? What do you think that is? An extreme risk protection order.
This is the sort of thing that was discussed about, I want to say it was Parkland afterwards, because the idea is a lot of people had an indication mm-hmm. that this student may be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone around him said, yeah, we knew he was dangerous, so there's nothing we could do about it. So
no, and that's not even true. In the Parkland shooting, mm-hmm. that's not
no,
even true.
I'm not
true.
Saying it's true.
Yeah, the school had the ability to do something. They didn't. The FBI had the ability to do something. They didn't. The police had the ability to do something. They didn't.
Right. However, this is an idea that if there's a bunch of people around you, you could say, if we all think that, you know, this person is he's a danger, he's got a lot of guns, he's making me nervous, so we could go into somehow a judge, the government, and say, hey, this guy's a real problem, and hopefully they would look into it.
Okay.
That's the theory behind
that's
the red
the theory
flag.
Behind it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the red flag extreme risk protection order will actually do. If anyone is accused, of committing a crime or thought to be of danger and has a weapon, they are taken away. The police will be able to confiscate guns based on nothing more than hearsay of a disgruntled family member or friend, or perhaps somebody who really does know. But how many times do you think if you are a gun lover and you're getting a divorce and it's ugly, if you, let's say, are a gun lover and you cheated on your spouse or you cheated on your girlfriend and she wants revenge, do you think there's a chance she might go to police and say, by the way, I just want you to know, I think he's a danger? You don't have to be mentally ill. If you have an argument with a neighbor, they'll be able to turn you in just saying, I think you might be, he might be dangerous, and they have to go in and take your weapons. And they take them for a year.
There's no...
no court.
Oversight to this?
Nope.
No,
no court.
Judge ruling on whether this is a legitimate claim?
Nope. They would be able to, a judge would be allowed to take your guns and suspend your Second Amendment rights for up to a year after they've been taken. But you don't even hear that side of the story. You're not there. They can take your guns. Hmm. They listen to the person. And they can keep your guns for up to a year. This is what happened in Gary Willis in Maryland. It happened last year. An angry family member wanted to get back at him after having an argument. He told police that he needed to have his guns taken away. An officer showed up at 5 o'clock in the morning, demanded that he surrender all of his firearms. He refused. A scuffle broke out, and he was shot and killed by police. He was never charged with anything. It was a disgruntled neighbor, and he's like, you can't come into my house and just take my guns. This is a GOP bill. Instead of police or prosecutors having to go to a judge and say somebody is mentally ill or they broke the law, the burden of proof is completely shifted. It is now shifting to the gun owners having to prove that they are okay. They have to prove, after the guns have already been taken, that they deserve to have their rights back. The gun owner is not even invited to be at the hearing where the confiscation is first declared.
Imagine this with other rights. You'd have to prove your sanity before you were able to speak freely. You would have to prove you were worthy before things like, I mean, even like voting, right? I mean, the whole point of the...
Yeah, I know. It's really hard to imagine a society that says, let's say that you have to prove you're not a racist because of something that you tweeted. Or you have to prove that you didn't sexually assault someone
But they claimed it online, and the population has declared you a rapist or whatever.
It's institutionalizing what we have in like a Twitter mob culture.
Yes, it's exactly that.
It's very scary, especially when it comes to a constitutional right. I mean, again, like you're not allowed to infringe this if you want to. Here's an idea where this is a situation where a random person can start saying that they feel you're unstable, and that right goes away. Not because you've been convicted of something, not because
they can just dislike you.
A doctor or somebody has said, at least with some authority, that you have instability mentally, or you've been confined to an institution.
And they take them first, then they show you the case.
That's not, I mean, that's
not America.
Not be constitutional, though.
This is the Republicans. This is Lindsey Graham.
I don't think Lindsey Graham cares at all about the Constitution. I mean, he's, you know.
No, but I mean, if that's our friends,
right?
Who
needs enemies, right?
All right, there's another.
Imagine what Bernie Sanders does as president of the United States.
Did you see the California rep that came out and said the only way to really control guns is to change the Second Amendment and ban all guns? And they're now starting a petition to repeal the Second Amendment.
Well, good for him, first of all, because he's right.
Yes.
The only way to infringe on people's gun ownership rights is to repeal the Second Amendment. Now, that's only the very beginning of that process, mm-hmm. and you're not going to like the other steps, because then after that were to happen, states all over the place would put it in their state constitution, and you'd have to pass a whole nother amendment that would ban, mm-hmm. So you'd have to repeal and ban at the same time, which would be even harder. Mm-hmm. Then you'd have a society with 400 million guns on it, with let's say 300 million of them in the hands of people who have no intention of giving them back to you. So good luck going door to door to collect 300 million guns around this country.
They won't do it, though. They'll do it like they did in Germany. Remember, the German people, they were hunters. They went out and they shot their own food. There were a lot of guns in Germany. Mm-hmm. So what did they do? First, they did the national database, so they knew exactly who had what guns. Then, instead of confiscating, you had to turn them in.
Right.
And it was, it started out, I think, as a 10-year penalty if you didn't. And then, after a few months, they gave you a warning and said, by the way, anyone seen with a gun will be shot, no questions asked. So then those people who didn't turn in their guns were actually shot going to the police station trying to turn their guns in. Mm. That's why the population was toothless. When Hitler really started doing bad things, there was no one that could stop them because they had all the guns.
Right. I mean,
by the way, just a quick side note, 2012, that's when Venezuela lost their right to guns because that wonderful utopia, socialism utopia. They thought the guns would be dangerous in the hands of the people. So that's why they can't fight back. Just want to throw that in there.
Hmm. It's interesting. Interesting parallel there. Yeah, I mean, I think that, look, that this would be almost impossible to do in the United States. Almost impossible. Because
I don't think so.
No, I'm not, look, this population, you think, with the culture that has been ingrained here, the most heavily armed, they always say this as an insult, the most heavily armed society in the history of the planet. Well, yeah, we are. It's because this whole guaranteeing people's rights, right to bear arms, has put together a country that it is almost impossible to go door to door. Think about this. Our military, the best military in the history of the world, look at the problems it's had going door to door to root out people like ISIS and the Taliban and Al-Qaeda in countries that have almost no weapons compared to what we have. Can you imagine trying to go door to door to collect 300 million guns
in this country?
They will make
an example of a few people. They will come to the doors of, Wayne LaPierre or me, mm-hmm. and they'll say, turn over your guns, and I'll say no, and then they'll make an example.
Well, your guns, though, you're not a good example, because all your guns were lost.
Well, yeah, they were lost.
There's a pterodactyl that came in and picked them up.
I don't know, that's just
them.
One theory.
Okay.
I think that's a crazy one, mm-hmm. but...
they're all gone now.
On my way to report them.
You were?
As missing.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
Yeah. But remind me, because if I don't report them, I'll have to report them. you know, I gotta just remind me.
Yeah.
That was all taken.
Just a terrible tragedy.
Don't know what happened to them. Anyway, let me tell you about what's happening now in Washington State. There is another gun law that is being passed in Washington State that the sheriffs have said we're not going to enforce. And I've told you before, support your local sheriff, because your local sheriff is the one who will stand between you and your guns, you and the Constitution, or you and whoever wants to take the Constitution away. We're seeing this now happen in Washington State, and now they're coming after the sheriffs because they are saying this is unconstitutional and we will not abide by this. We will not enforce this law. So we'll tell you about that coming up in just a second. First, let me tell you about a VPN. A VPN is a virtual private network. If you think you don't need it, you're mistaken. Right now, we are in something called surveillance capitalism, and we are giving away all of our information because it works for us. We want Amazon to know when we need something. We want Google to know exactly where we are so it can help us find our way home. That's called surveillance capitalism. And it's good unless they are just culling everything. Because remember, the reason for this information is to eventually be able to predict you at 99 to 100%. That's why they're collecting all of this information. And you may not think that's a bad thing, but if it falls into the wrong hands, it is a horrible thing. You want people to not be able to track you, really not be able to track you, get a secure VPN. If you want to make sure that nobody can hack in and get all of your banking codes and everything, get a secure VPN. Who do you get it from? Well, Facebook is offering one. They just dropped that because everybody's like, I don't think so, Facebook. Norton. Norton.com is a name that we've trusted for cybersecurity for a long, long time. You can trust them with a secure VPN. Costs like $333 if you sign up for a year. That's where it starts, at $333. It's easy. You download the app. You put in the passcode once, and then it loads on everything, and you have access securely to the internet. Go to Norton.com/VPN right now. Norton.com/VPN. So Washington State passed I-1639 last November. And basically it said you needed a bigger background check. You needed to be 21 to buy a rifle, a semi-automatic rifle, and a few other things, safety measures, yada, yada, yada. How did this get passed in a state? Well, the state in its big cities is very progressive, very, very left. But the rest of it is a gun-loving state. But it was passed. But it was passed with a little help of the friends. Now, remember, the NRA is evil.
Mm-hmm.
Just puts so much money into things.
That's the narrative, right?
Right.
Big money in politics is coming in for the side of the NRA and gun owners. And that's why we can't get these bills passed. Well, it's interesting. And the NRA did give $200,000 to try to stop this bill. And it was a ballot measure from being passed. Interesting, though, that one man, Paul Allen, gave six times that amount just himself to support the measure, as well as at least four other, including the Ballmer family, at least four other donors gave more than two or three times as much as the NRA did in total. In fact, overall, to oppose this gun control bill, $764,000 was donated. To support the gun control bill, $5.548 million. Basically an 8-to-1 ratio from people trying to support gun control rather than oppose it.
Man, you know, so it's AIPAC and the NRA.
Yeah.
If we just get the AIPAC and NRA out, we'd be able to get things done. You want to know how that passed? You want to know why the sheriffs aren't enforcing it? On tomorrow's program.
The Fusion of entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We want to tell you a little bit of what happened at South by Southwest, where they are just coming after capitalism in the free market. Ocasio-Cortez said the free market is over. Howard Schultz, however, I think is a hero. While they're saying he was booed, he was not booed.
nor made to feel uncomfortable at South by Southwest. He said that he's going to, he believes that if you're running a socialist against Donald Trump, Donald Trump will win. And he said, capitalism is in our spirit and in the American DNA, and we're not going to go towards socialism. I'm not sure I agree with him on that. I hope he's right. We'll get into that, South by Southwest, and also Silicon Valley, in 1 minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
You know, I joke about hating salads and vegetables, but I also hate that it is a constant battle, you know, with me and Tanya and doctors and God and everybody else that knows what I hate is good for me. You have to have your fruits and vegetables. You have to. Well, there's an easy way to do that. If you have a kid who doesn't like their vegetables, they're going to grow into a man that doesn't like their vegetables and their fruits. So here's the thing. You just take one spoonful of this. You just mix it into whatever you're drinking. You can, you know, I've been told you can put it in pancakes and the husband doesn't even know that it's there. Anyway, you get...
have you been a victim of this?
I'm not a victim. I'm not saying that. No. 15% of your first order, you'll get off 15% your first order of Field of Greens. This is not a supplement. This is the actual USDA food. It's got all of the everything that you need. And it's all in one product, one spoonful, and then you don't have to eat them. So go to BrickHouseGlenn.com, promo code Glenn. That's promo code Glenn at BrickHouseGlenn.com. Get 15% off your first order, Field of Greens. That's BrickHouseGlenn.com. Stew. Can you believe how fast this has come?
It is really surprising. You know, you would not think how overt they would be about this stuff. I mean, we're 603 days ahead of this election, and we're already at the point where candidates are attacking Bernie Sanders from the left. We've got 600 days. I mean, another year plus of a primary. And we're already at the point where people are like, you know what, Bernie Sanders, I mean, you know, guy's not on board fully for reparations. Do you believe this guy? This is where we are already. This is going to be a lot of fun before it burns down in a socialist firestorm. It's going to be great.
With terror and slaughter, the gods of the copybook headings return. I think of that all the time because people say, is this going to end? Yeah, it is. It might take 80 years, and it's going to be massively bloody. But in the end, this stuff will collapse. You cannot deny human nature. You cannot deny facts. You just can't deny facts. Scientific facts. And we're being asked to deny all of it. Remember how cute this was when we were upset that our children were being taught math. And well, that could be the right answer if you show me your work, that there is no wrong answer in math. Remember when we thought that was a big deal?
Yeah.
Okay. That's oh, how 2012 of you. Look at where we are now.
It's come so fast, and you're at the point now. I mean, you mentioned Howard Schultz. Howard Schultz, if you don't know his story, you know, he is a lifelong Democrat. He is not a conservative in any way. You remember Starbucks? Do you remember when he was leaving Starbucks? The last thing you might remember about Howard Schultz while he was at Starbucks was a few African-American, I would say patrons, but they weren't buying anything. They walked in and wanted to sit down and take up a table at a busy time in a Starbucks and had no intention of buying anything. The manager came in and was like, you guys need to leave. It's store policy, which it was, and asked them to leave. And they basically accused the manager of racism and fired her over it.
Yeah, well, the police came. They wouldn't leave with the police.
The police came.
Right.
Because she called the police, which, by the way, was what she was supposed to do.
Starbucks policy.
Yeah. So they changed the policy to say, you can always come in and go and just sit down wherever you want, even if you're not buying anything.
And then, if you remember, the last thing he did was he had a day of training where he closed all Starbucks.
This is not a conservative.
Not at all.
He's a lifelong Democrat who, I mean, he has a good, his business story is a real American story where he fought hard. He recognized, think about this, when he started at Starbucks, they didn't serve coffee.
What?
They didn't serve coffee.
They
sold coffee in bags.
Oh, that's right.
They didn't sell it. You couldn't buy it and sit down. That's not what Starbucks was at the time. It was just a place that grinded up good coffee and you could take it home and make it at home. And he was the first person he started working for that company. He did not own at the time. And he was able to convince them to open up one cafe that was a Starbucks cafe that was doing well. And their owners were like, was doing well. He's like, you know what? This is just isn't us. This isn't who we are. We don't want to do this anymore. And so he eventually was able to buy out Starbucks and take it on the journey that it became this gigantic company all across the country. And all the, you know, he implements liberal values throughout the entire company. Everybody knows this about Starbucks. I mean, Starbucks used to be the joke of liberalism. You'd be like, oh, this whole country's going to turn into a giant Starbucks. Now the guy who's responsible for Starbucks can't even get into the Democratic Party.
That is craziness.
I mean, this has happened
craziness.
So fast.
This is a guy also who grew up poor. He grew up in the projects of New York. Do you ever see the interview with him where he cries in the hallway?
I don't think I have.
Take him back to the projects that he grew up in with the chain link fences that are overlooking this Soviet era looking, you know, playground. And his childhood was so traumatic and so he was so broke. And he went to the hallway and he got to the door of his house where he grew up in. You can call it a house, this horrible little apartment in a government project. Mm. And he broke down in tears. And that was a story that was a 60 Minutes thing about how he built his empire and his roots. This guy is so American, so everything in business that we want to be. He has taken his beliefs and made it into who he is, which is very liberal.
Very liberal.
And now, what did he say? He goes to South by Southwest, and the press, I can't say the press, NBC exposed the Daily Beast. What a surprise. The Daily Beast is lying.
Stunner, especially around these parts.
Whoa. The Daily Beast said that he was booed and the crowd was not pleasant. That is not true.
Yeah, they said he bombed.
He didn't bomb.
I mean, even NBC News, like, he didn't bomb. And the guy who, Dylan Byers, who did the actual interview, is like, watched the clips of it. I had the whole interview. Just watch it. He didn't bomb at all. People were receptive to him. I mean, you know, because, again, he's not coming out there saying, build the wall. This is not who this guy is. He is a hardcore, what we used to think of as a liberal or even a progressive.
Yeah, I would say he's a progressive.
He just has some friendliness to some business
stuff. He's not
but
a communist.
No.
Okay, and I'm sorry, but I'm not going to use socialist. They say, we just want socialist Sweden. That's not a socialist country. That has socialism in it, but it is a capitalist country with a huge social framework. But that's not what they want, because they're telling us now the capitalist system doesn't work.
Yeah,
they're telling us right now. Play the Ocasio-Cortez quote, where capitalism has no future. Listen to this.
Capitalism it's an ideology of capital. It puts capital, the most important thing is the concentration of capital. And it means that we seek and prioritize profit and the accumulation of money above all else. And we seek it at any human and environmental cost. That is what that means. And to me, that ideology is not sustainable and cannot be redeemed.
That is
unbelievable. She is just I mean,
it's unbelievable.
Boston University. You should be just, you should cringe every time you see her. She is who you turned out. She has her degree in economics and foreign affairs. She's a numbskull. How is that possible that she went through your university and came out with this kind of knowledge? She's not even good on socialism.
No, I mean, look, this is, we're talking about a philosophy, capitalism, that has raised multiple billions of people out of extreme poverty in the last 20 years. This is not some ancient thing you have to think back and think, oh, well, what did Adam Smith think? It's happening right in front of your eyes. We've changed the entire world. People that used to die don't. Constantly. What is it? The number is 17,000 kids per day that used to die in, I think it was 1990.
Yeah.
Today don't. Largely because capitalism has spread throughout the world in modified form, by the way. God only knows what would have happened if we could have only done it in a much fuller way. But places like, India and China and places have adopted only small parts of it, and that's the reason it's not even more widespread. But it's coming so fast. All the innovations that have come from capitalism are being spread around the world and saving lives.
Let's just remember, the iPhone was not invented by DARPA.
No.
The federal government. It hasn't.
The revolutions that have been pushed back against just because of those sorts of technological advancements that have come from capitalism. Tyranny is almost struck how many places, but we've been alerted about it. How do we know what's going on in Venezuela today? How do we know the actual inner workings of what's going on in the philosophy that Ocasio-Cortez is advocating for in Venezuela? The only reason we know is because capitalism has spread technology to places so that the poor of the poor in places like Venezuela can film each other as their kids are dying in the socialist hospitals. That is how dire and stark the difference here is. And yet she's on stage at South by Southwest, by the way, which is not a socialist conference. It's a very, very commercial conference. She's on stage there telling us about how capitalism sucks and socialism's the answer. I mean, it is, we have reversed all sanity in this country. We are in absolutely twilight zone.
We are in an airplane, and we have passengers in the first class cabin with access to the pilots who are saying, we're telling you, we just have to turn these engines off. It's too loud in here. It's causing too much exhaust. And the rest of the cabin is going, no. We should get on the ground first. Get on the ground. And we're going to make it from one place to another because of those engines. Those are worthless. If they were so important, why wouldn't they be in the cabin? Instead, they're out in the rain. They do nothing for us. Captain, turn those engines off, and it will be just as catastrophic as that scenario. Millions will die if they get their way. Millions, mark my words, millions will die. All right, LifeLock, tax season ramping up, only a month from tax day, so here are the tips that you need to reduce becoming a victim of tax scams. Here, you give those three tips, and I'm going to give three tips on how you can survive tax season. Your first tip:
don't log into bank accounts on unsecured Wi-Fi networks.
My tip, tip number one: buy a gallon of Jack Daniels.
Number two: don't prepare and file your tax returns on public computers.
Number two: get a big glass. It could be like an old, you remember the old Folgers coffee cans? It needs to be about that size. Okay.
And remember, IRS employees won't email you, so don't click on links within emails that claim to be from the IRS because it's probably a phishing scam.
Right. And remember, you can drink it out of the can, but Jack Daniels is fine straight right out of the bottle. There you go. How to survive both people taking your identity and also how you can survive tax season. Now, here's the thing. If you don't do one of those tips, or if you do my tips first, you probably will not be in any condition to be able to make sure that no one is hacking and taking all of your stuff. Okay? So that's why you have LifeLock, because you can drink it right out of a coffee can, and LifeLock's still going to be sober. They're going to know. And when you pick up the phone, they're like, "Do you? Did you just try to open that account?" You go, like, I don't, could be. And if there's a problem, they'll take care of it for you. LifeLock.com. Use the promo code Beck and save 10% now. Now is the time you really need it. LifeLock.com, promo code Beck. 10 seconds. Station ID. So, Democrats are starting to spook the Valley, Silicon Valley. I've been waiting for this one to happen. Now, here's how this ends. May I skip to the ending? Here's how this ends. The government getting so big and powerful that they spook the hell out of these, you know, Amazon, Google, Apple, all these things. And so they compromise in the end. And the socialists declare a victory because now it's a public-private partnership with Google. They're going to help. Facebook's going to help the government. The government's going to help them. And the government's going to guard our safety. That's how this ends. But right now, here's what's happening. Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar, they have proposals now to regulate big tech. And Silicon Valley doesn't like it so much. They've been very, very generous to the Democratic Party. And now the Democrats are just saying, you're too big and too scary. So here's Senator Warren. She says that she wants to break up Amazon, Apple, Facebook, and Google and reverse many of their acquisitions, including Facebook's acquisition of Instagram, WhatsApp, and Amazon's acquisition of Whole Foods, and Google's acquisition of Waze. Can you imagine after you have purchased? Think how crazy this is. Think how crazy this is. The federal government allows you to be a capitalist. You build your company. Then after you build your company and you've had this integrated into your system, they now say, oh, yeah, you're going to have to untangle all that. You got to get rid of those things. Who the hell are you to tell me that?
It really is amazing.
Oh, it's incredible.
Because they're not exactly being subtle here.
Oh no.
This is not a subtle approach. Because okay. You think about these things of like you get into these specific tax plans because you think you can pay taxes now and then later on you won't have to pay them.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? With a socialist president, of course you're going to have to pay again.
So they're also blocking companies from participating in the market they provide. So in other words, if Amazon has an Amazon product like, you know, Amazon Prime, you can't sell it at Amazon. But you could sell the services and the products for Amazon on Apple iTunes. But Apple couldn't sell Apple iTunes, so you'd have to get Apple iTunes on Amazon and Amazon Prime on Apple, right?
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
Right. You cannot distribute your own apps in your own apps store. So there couldn't be an Apple app in the Apple app store. They'd also be prohibited from sharing user data with third parties, a rule that would threaten the very business model of advertising-reliant companies like Facebook and Google.
Right. I mean, you know, I know that sounds bad. You're sharing it with third parties. That's the entire format, right? Like that's what they're doing. When you want to target an ad towards someone, like for example, I get a lot of ads for cheese flavored snacks. Why? Because I really like cheese flavored snacks. And so they know that I like cheese flavored snacks. So they send me a lot of ads about cheese flavored snacks. However, in this proposal, they would not be able to tell me tell the Cheetos company that I like cheese-flavored snacks and want to hear about their latest development and or innovation.
Now, Klobuchar has a different proposal. Yeah. Now, think of this. She has one that she floated this weekend at South by Southwest that she would impose a tax on tech companies that exploit user data. Now, I'm going to give you an alternative to this, but it's crazy, okay? When they sell our data to someone else, she said, maybe they're going to have to tell us so we can put some sort of tax on it.
Mm.
Now, that's something that the masses should cheer about.
Oh, yeah.
Unlike my idea that you are a creator. Your life is about creating information. Your life is creating a paper trail, information, things that are valuable to someone else. So if you want to sell my information, I guess I'm going to have to sell you my information. You can collect all of it, but I have access to it and I own it. You can use it for your purposes, but not to sell off of. But if you want to sell my information, some of us will be willing to sell our information to you. So screw the tax. Pay the people. Pay the people.
Glenn, you want- the government is the people.
Yeah, right.
That's what you're missing.
You want my information. Great. Pay me for my information.
What a great left-wing approach, though.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? There's something valuable that people have. Therefore, we should tax it. It's like, well, no.
They're taking it from us.
Exactly.
They're taking it from us. Mm. Now, they would argue that we're taking it in exchange for the services of a search engine and everything else. However, we now know how valuable each of our information, you know, profiles really are, especially when they're combined. So we're going to create a people's union and collective bargain with Google.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.
Why not? Relief Factor. If you're in constant pain, you are not alone. Millions of Americans feel this way. And I will tell you that millions of Americans have changed their way of life. They have actually gotten their life back. They have changed their life because they've been dramatically able to reduce their pain. How? In my case, and I know literally I've met hundreds of people who are the same, it is Relief Factor. Now, Relief Factor is 100% natural. It's drug-free. It was created by doctors. It reduces inflammation. And you try it for 3 weeks. If you try it for 3 weeks, you should know if it's going to work or not. 70% of the people who try it for 3 weeks and take it three times a day as directed order more month after month because their pain is reduced. It's happened to me. Get your life back. ReliefFactor.com.
Representative Ilhan Omar has an interesting backstory, and we're going to go into that tonight on TV. Join blazetv.com. Use the promo code BECK and save $10.
I look on my list of people that we're going to have as guests in upcoming days. I looked on Friday, and I see Oren Hoffman, who is a guy who runs SafeGraph, which this is how the company is described, building geospatial truth sets. Well, thank God somebody's doing that.
Oh, yeah.
I've been thinking of that for a long time. No idea what that is described that way. But he's a guy who his company says data is really important and there should be one like central library for it. And as long as all of the information, all of the names and people are stripped out of it, there should be a place like a safe library. So if you're an inventor and you're like, I need data on this, you can go get that data. It shouldn't be held in the hands of so few, because the more you open that data up, the more you're going to be able to innovate
while still protecting privacy concerns.
Correct. So that's real. What his company does. He's on the phone now. Oren, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Very good. You know, it wasn't me that put you on the list of people to come on. Actually, it was Stu. He saw a tweet of yours, and he brought it to the producers. And then we were talking about it the other day, and I'm like, I know. How did I not think of this? So welcome to the program. Glad to have you here.
Oh, well, I'm happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
So we wanted to talk to you really about a couple of things. First of all, we were just talking about data and how South by Southwest, all these politicians were out and they were all talking about socialism and everything else. And Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar have now come out and said they want to break these companies up. To the point where Apple wouldn't be able to have an Apple app on their app store. You know, it's crazy. Are you seeing any kind of fallout or getting skittish at all on Washington out in Silicon Valley?
Well, I think there's definitely a movement of people that are taking this like breakup very seriously, mm-hmm. In Silicon Valley, and there are a lot of people on different sides of things who find some of those arguments compelling, and so I think that will have a lot of legs over the next few years, and it's a political argument that is that we should expect to be made.
I'm concerned about public-private partnerships with some of these companies. Does that concern you at all?
What do you mean?
You know, that these companies, because I feel like at some point the politicians are going to know if we had, you know, our fingers in big tech, we could use this to help move populations a certain way or whatever. And big tech will know. If we don't play ball with them somewhat, they're gonna just break us up. So let's get into bed fully with each other. Do you think that's a possibility?
I that may be a bit higher than my pay grade. So okay. I'm not 100% sure whether okay. that's a possibility. Or
okay,
not.
Let me talk to you a little bit about AI. I just talked to somebody just last week who said they don't even think that, you know, artificial general intelligence is something that's going to happen. I've talked to another friend who told me that DARPA is running an algorithm. I don't even know how this works. You probably would. That is looking to see if anyone has started any kind of artificial intelligence. He said that they told him privately that it was looking like somebody was either started it or on the verge of releasing some sort of artificial intelligence. If it's not us, we're in trouble. Do you agree with that?
That's right. Yeah. And there's varying degrees. We don't have to get all the way to AGI every step in the direction of artificial intelligence is important for the United States. As a military power.
How far behind China are we?
I'm not sure if we're behind China or not, but I do know that China and Russia both have amazing engineering teams, and they're working on this aggressively, and it's a priority for both countries.
The last time we spoke, I asked you a question. I said, I feel like we need some sort of a Manhattan Project. You know, we have to do something, but I don't want a Manhattan Project because I don't trust the government. And yet I don't trust Google either. Who do we trust?
Yeah, I'm not sure. One kind of simple solution just could be to make sure that the best AI scientists are in this country. And so, you know, if you just think of artificial intelligence as the most important battlefield, and our rivals like Russia and China think it also is the most important battlefield, then we want as many of the top brains in AI residing in the U.S. and having a positive attitude toward the U.S.
So what brought this to Stu's attention was that you tweeted a while back that you thought we needed a Manhattan Project, and I want you to outline that. But it's not really a Manhattan Project like I think of a Manhattan Project, where it's the government actually running it. It's just the government enabling people to come in. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, exactly. In some ways, like, it's similar to gathering like the top rocket scientists post-World War II. You want as many of these great AI engineers as possible. And there's likely less than 20,000 top researchers in AI in the world, and at least half of them live outside the U.S. today.
Wow.
And many of them live in places like Canada. The University of Toronto is one of the top AI centers in the world, but they also live in China and Russia, India, France, Israel, Iran, you know, Germany, UK, Japan, South Korea, you know, many of these countries. And so we should have a system, I think, to identify these people and then to attract them to the U.S., either give them some sort of special visa, give them things like stipend visa for their spouse, you know, some sort of fast track to becoming a citizen, get these people here, get these people happy, because we want as many of these people here as possible. And there's not that many. We're not talking about hundreds of thousands of people. We're talking about maybe 10,000 worldwide to attract to the U.S.
Could we attract them? Because I know these countries are gobbling these people up and not letting them leave?
Well, it might be harder to attract them from Russia and China, but you know, many of these people who are in other countries would be very happy to live in the U.S. if we were able to give them a compelling reason to come.
What is the, for the average person, Oren, people, they don't have a concept of what this means. They don't know why the government is, you know, so worried about 5G. Explain what the world looks like with the AI that you think we could have soon.
Well, I think AI is just a very important for both attacking and defending militarily. So AI can help, if you just think of it as purely from a cyber warfare, AI is both really important if you want to defend your assets. So if you want to defend your nuclear assets or whatever else you're defending, and then also very important if you're attacking other people's assets. And so, and it doesn't have to be AGI, like you mentioned at the top of the show. It just could be some sort of incremental improvements over what we have today. And every incremental improvement makes you as a power more fearsome, both as a defender and as a and on offense as well.
We're talking to Oren Hoffman. He is the founder. Are you the CEO too of Safegraph?
I am. Yeah.
Okay. Of Safegraph.com from Silicon Valley, and I know that you call yourself a optimistic pessimist. I call myself an optimistic catastrophist. Explain what an optimistic pessimist is and why.
Well, I think it's important to be a realist. So I'm optimistic about the future, but also a realist as well.
So, Arne, we've been spending a lot of time on this show talking about immigration, and a lot of it, the conversation tends to go to a point where, okay, we're talking about is there a wall? Is, you know, what's going on at the border? But there are a lot of smart things I think we can do as far as immigration. And I think your policy, your idea kind of stems, part of that is part of that conversation is not just making, business easier for businesses to come in and operate in these circles. But also when we're talking about attracting these scientists, it's maybe, do you think is it a special visa? Is it, how do we actually get people to come here to the United States to develop these things for us rather than for China or Russia?
So one thing is, I think, is just really hard is just identifying these people, and having some sort of way of where other core AI researchers vouch for you, and there's some sort of way to identify these people. I don't think that is such a simple thing, and especially for like a government entity to go do. Once we do that, making sure that they can come here easily, that it's also really important that their spouse can work. So getting a simple way for their spouse can work and get a visa, getting some sort of citizen fast track, giving them other reasons to come in. Immigration is really important for getting these top scientists here. I think maybe the debate is almost over emigration. I think that's something like a China or Russia, they're probably less likely to let their top scientists emigrate. They're probably very happy to have people immigrate.
And they are trying to tap our top scientists.
I don't know. So that's I haven't heard of that, but
I do.
Certainly they should be certainly they should be.
Yeah. Oren, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again. Appreciate it. Oren Hoffman.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You bet. CEO of Safegraph. All right, let me tell you about our sponsor. It is Goldline. Goldline has the new 2019 version of the Legal Tender Bar. Now, what a Legal Tender Bar is something that I actually said to Goldline years ago. Is there something that I can like have and carry around that is like in case things, you know, the banks close and you're not sure what's going on and I don't have any money on me? Something I could have in my wallet that could be currency that's like, you know, gold or something. And you don't want to have a whole lot of gold on you.
But a tenth of an ounce would take care of things in an emergency. So they have the legal tender bar, and it was made by the Canadian Mint just for Goldline. Now, it comes in a new credit card size barter case that slides open so you can, you know, take them and use them for barter. But it's really made for everyday carry in your purse or your wallet or your backpack. And it makes sure that wherever you are, whatever the situation is, you have something that will get you home. Call today. See how easy it is to order gold or silver. See how easy and see if it's right for you and your financial situation to own gold or silver. They're waiting for your phone call right now. I really like these people, the operators, because they like you. They like the audience. They rave about you. Every time I see them, they're like, you have the best audience. They're so kind and polite. Call 866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. You know, we watch these Sunday shows so you don't have to here on the Glenn Beck program. Let me play Liz Cheney on Chuck Todd battling on Ilhan Omar and the resolution on anti-Semitism. Listen to this.
There was some concern by singling her out. You only make her a target, and they pointed to that West Virginia Republican Party flyer.
Chuck, I'm sorry, but
this is getting. But my point is, we are getting.
You can describe it that way, Chuck. You can describe it that way, but you're wrong.
Way, though,
you can describe it that way, but you are wrong. When you have a situation in this country and around the world where we have seen a global rise in anti-Semitic attacks, when we have had the kinds of attacks that you had on the synagogue here in the United States recently, that is a moment when you absolutely
a motive on the right. That guy was motivated by right-wing fringe ideology.
Anti-Semitic.
Right.
Anti-Semitic, no matter where it comes from, is wrong. And when you're in a situation where you are an elected official, where we are in a situation where we have the history that we have, what happens when you don't stand up and say, this is evil, and call it what it is? We all have an obligation to do that. And I think it is absolutely shameful that Nancy Pelosi and Leader Hoyer and the Democratic leaders will not put her name in a resolution on the floor and condemn her remarks and remove her from the House Foreign Affairs Committee.
You feel comfortable that President Trump's done enough to tamp down this right-wing fringe anti-Semitism that's been rising up?
I don't believe this is right or left. I think that this is an issue on which all of us should come together, particularly elected officials, the president, the vice president, members of the Senate and the House, no matter what your party is, stand up and say, in today's world, when anti-Semitism is on the rise, when we have the history that we have, when we know what happens when people remain silent, every single one of us must at all times stand against.
All right, so let's just take this. First of all, what do you think, Trump? Look, may I, Chuck, say what my mother used to say to me, and I'm sure your mother used to say it, and you've just forgotten. Chuck, I don't care who started it. Who's going to stop it? Chuck, I don't care what he did or she did. I care about what you did. That's what my mother used to say. And I think we all need to hear my mother from time to time, just once in a while. I don't care what they're doing. What are you doing? That's what leadership does. They solve their problem before they try to solve anybody else's, and they don't blame it on anybody else. Now, he was trying to say, well, the Republicans and the right wing. Well, yeah, there was the bumper sticker pipe bomb guy. I'm not sure that the guy in Pittsburgh was right wing ideology. Maybe he was. Okay, yeah, I'll point out that as bad behavior and stuff that needs to be called out absolutely positively. But let me ask you, have we had more of a problem seeing violent anti-Semitism from the right wing or the left wing, or from people from the Islamic ring or wing? I mean, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who is Islamic, who came from the Middle East and is saying things. And the excuse is, well, they just don't know our culture. They just don't know that those things are wrong. No, well, then they need to learn, and they need to learn quickly.
Maybe before they're elected into the House of Representatives?
You correct. Think that's a... Correct. And Chuck, honestly, if you want some more on why it needs to be condemned, watch my TV show tonight at 5, because I got all the goods tonight.
You're listening to Glenn Beck.